Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I know I say this a lot when it comes to the NFL, what a difference a week makes, and that's true. But as I was watching Sunday Night Football, it really dawned on me how much can change in a single year, over the course of a few months even, going back to the Super Bowl in Atlanta. I guess it's not a few short months anymore, but man, they flew by. Here we are, Sunday Night Football, watching the Los Angeles Rams, who of course made Todd Gurley the highest paid running back in the league, but they also had a high-flying, high-octane passing attack. And yet here we are on Sunday Night Football watching the Rams only throw the ball 18 times. Now, they certainly have had a lot of changes and transition and turnover, injuries on the offensive line, which has thus precipitated changes to the offense. On the opposite sideline, the Chicago Bears went from worst to first in 2018 and now are in danger of falling back the other way, going first to worst in 2019 in the NFC North. They do have the Lions behind them, or farther down in the basement in the NFC North. So the Bears, I guess you could say they're at the ground level and the Lions are in the basement, or maybe there are two levels to the basement. When I go to Houston and do my show from Sports Radio 610, there are actually multiple levels of the parking garage underground. So the Bears are the first level of the parking garage underground, and the Lions are the very base level of the parking garage, two levels underground. But what a difference a year makes. Just using Sunday Night Football as a snapshot. Yes, there are givens in the NFL. For instance, the New England Patriots, 19 straight winning seasons. There are narratives and storylines that we've come to expect. For instance, you cannot tell me ever that a locker room tanks. It doesn't happen. So as much as fans would like their teams, or would like to believe their teams are tanking, losing on purpose, in other words, to get a higher draft pick, you cannot convince a locker room to do that, which means very often you've got two forces working in opposition to one another. It's painful to lose as much as the Bengals have, which is why the Dolphins have celebrated every win, why the Jets can celebrate again on Sunday, why the Denver Broncos are going to rue a game in which they were up 20-0 at the half. No, they're not challenging for playoffs, but man, they could taste that win on the road at Minnesota. What a stepping stone that would have been. It's why Kyler Murray can't stand the losing. He's never been in a situation like this before. It's why the Falcons didn't give up, didn't stop playing as hard as they could, didn't stop believing that they would eventually have breakthroughs. And now look at them. They've won back-to-back games. So from week to week, it changes in the NFL, but certainly from one year to the next, sometimes it's hard to even recognize this league. Also, it's just another side note to the whole tanking argument. You know why you don't tank for a particular player? Because it's sports. And that player can get seriously injured and maybe not even be in the NFL draft next spring. Thinking of Tua Tagovailoa, who is, of course, the Alabama quarterback who suffered a dislocated hip and a fracture as well on Saturday. Late first half, the Tide already up big over Mississippi State. And Nick Saban allowed his quarterback to stay in the game. Tua wanted to do one more series because they could work on their two-minute drill, and he was still trying to get back in a groove after the ankle surgery and the time away. And so he stays in the game, and it's an awkward tackle where his leg is folded underneath him. I'm sure many of you have seen it. Incredibly painful. He was airlifted to a hospital in Birmingham and has now been transported to Houston. He was being evaluated on this Sunday evening and will have surgery on Monday. Thankfully, according to the doctors with University of Alabama, he is expected to make a full recovery. Now, I have no idea what this means for his future plans. There's speculation now that he may return to school. He has one more year of eligibility. Of course, that's a decision he'll make with his family. But I did spend some time praying for him this weekend because I can't imagine how painful that is. A lot of people comparing it to the injury that essentially ended Bo Jackson's career. So thinking of Tua on Monday as he has a very serious surgery, but believing that he has great doctors and is getting the best care. And because he's young and a world-class athlete, should be able to recover fully. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm still sore from yard work. I'll just admit it. I'm not a world-class athlete, and there are muscles that I haven't used in a while. Let's see. 12 bags of leaves and lawn debris. It was, at least it was nice and sunny. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We've had this ongoing conversation on our social media over the last few days. Of course, the last time we were with you, we spent 4 hours talking about the brawl in the final 8 seconds of Thursday Night Football. We'll get to the fallout. The appeals are expected to take place on Monday and Tuesday for all three players who got suspended. Myles Garrett, Larry Ogunjobi of the Browns, and then Marquise Pouncey of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that was the last time we were together. And we'll see how the NFL's mediators, they're really former players, but they split up the hearings, the appeals officers, and we'll see whether or not those suspensions get reduced. And more on that coming up. But it was a quick weekend because it was so full of football. That's what it is this time of the year. And we wrapped it up with a game in Chicago, Soldier Field. No, it wasn't in Soldier Field. What am I talking about? It was in Los Angeles. It wasn't cold at all, actually. You know where I got that from? How many times did they say on Sunday Night Football, we're going to be in the cold next Sunday for the Packers and the Niners, currently the 1 and 2 seed. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so there goes the perfect show. But at least I realized it before I got any further. Never go with your first answer. So a dozen punts between the Rams and the Bears. The punters got quite a workout. Neither team was over 285 yards. And at the end of the game, we saw Chase Daniel come in for the Chicago offense. A hip injury reported in the press box in Los Angeles. And you'll hear from Trubisky himself coming up. And we will head to the only place that really didn't go through the Arctic blast, that and like really Southern Florida over the last week, Southern California. So we'll try to get the latest on Mitch Trubisky as well as the Rams. But it was a tough offensive day for the Bears yet again. Only 3.6 yards per play for Chicago. So for Trubisky, under 200 yards, a touchdown, an interception, but for the most part, not looking comfortable. And because the Bears really didn't rush the ball that well, which is par for the course as well when they've struggled, that's something that goes hand in hand. They couldn't get a lot of momentum at all. Shut out in the first half, only had the one touchdown on the game. The Rams led wire to wire. But also odd is the fact that the Rams didn't throw the ball much at all. They were trying to hand off, get rid of it, maybe protect that offensive line featuring a couple of rookies and some new guys. Due to injuries, they've really had to shuffle the guys on the line. But they also are missing some of their key guys elsewhere in the offense. Like Brandon Cook, still not available. So Josh Reynolds, Cooper Kupp, these are your guys that you're relying on. And of course, the run game. Maybe a slow start to the season. A lot of people taking the opportunity to question the money paid to Todd Gurley. And that's certainly a valid argument. However, he had his best game of the season.
Strong right formation. A bunch of tight ends and Cooper Kupp to that side. Leading the way for Gurley, who gets the handoff and hammers it in. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, L.A. From the five, it's first and goal. With Malcolm Brown behind him, they give to Brown straight ahead. He charges in for six. Touchdown, L.A. 3:31 to go in regulation, and the Rams take it back to a two-score lead.
We kind of knew the type of game it was going to be, and that was the type of game it was, just to run the ball, and specifically with Todd, the way he was moving the ball and the way he was moving, and it worked. It worked really well, and I just couldn't be more proud of the guys who stepped up today. I mean, it doesn't happen everywhere in the league where you have two O-linemen go down. You have, you know, Johnny Munt, who's banged up, Tyler Higbee, who's banged up, and we're going to play you guys the entire game almost. And they freaking stepped up.
Todd Gurley with the touchdown in the first half. Malcolm Brown with the touchdown inside of 4 minutes to go in the game. And it was really all about the ground attack. 110 total yards for the Rams on the ground, 97 and the score for Todd Gurley. You heard J.B. Long on the Rams radio network. And then Jared Goff, who only attempted 18 passes, 11 completions. The 18 passes, a low for him in his 4 years with the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I don't know if the Bears have a quarterback controversy. I also don't know if they have a kicker issue again. Eddie Pinedo missing a pair of field goals in the first quarter. But they were 47 and 48 yards. But you know what? A bone of contention this has been for head coach Matt Nagy. And honestly, this season played out nothing. Is playing out. It's not done yet. Is playing out nothing like what he envisioned.
It's been challenging, you know, because we just, these type of games, these close games, we want to come out on top, and we haven't done that. I really look just in general, just offensively, I know that we have the pieces and everything, and we haven't had that one game where it's just been four quarters of just fireworks.
As for Mitch Trubisky, pulled from the final offensive series. Now, granted, the Bears were down 10, but still, you never know. Score a touchdown, get a field goal, try the onside kick. Stranger things have happened with a couple of minutes to go. And immediately, the Bears PR reported in the press box that Trubisky was dealing with a hip injury, even though it wasn't something that the TV broadcast saw, wasn't something that we could see, but this was the report coming out of LA.
It was something in the second half, one of the hits I took, got evaluated at halftime, something in the hip region where I was just trying to keep it loose the second half and be able to make plays for my team, and it just kept getting tighter and tighter. In the hip region, and I just couldn't move around like I wanted to, and I was just throwing with a lot of arm, and I was trying to make plays and stay on the field and fight through, and just disappointed I couldn't finish.
So we'll see whether or not Trubisky has to miss another game. Already, of course, had time missed earlier in the year with injury, but for the Bears, this has been a brutal season. 4-6 now, as I say, just above the Lions in the NFC North. Little better for the Rams. A tick more positivity there, though, because of the division they reside in. They are looking up at two of the best teams in the NFC. So the Niners now at 9-1. We'll get to San Francisco coming up. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks have won three straight, including last week, Monday Night Football. Was it Monday night? Sunday night? Monday night? See, the days all blend together. Thank you, Chris. Seahawks have the bye week after beating the Niners in what was a thrilling game. And so we could, very likely, at least at this point, that we'll see two teams coming out of the NFC West for the playoffs. So the Rams are going to need some help, especially with the way the Vikings came back and won on Sunday. The Saints riding the ship a little bit. Of course, the NFC East is appearing more and more like it will be a one-division playoff team. So the Rams, who won the conference a year ago, may need some things to break their way, but there's still a lot of real estate left in the NFL season. Again, we'll head to Los Angeles coming up in 20 minutes. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Always good to hear from you and talk some football. Straight ahead, the Niners did, in fact, move to 9-1, though they put themselves in quite a hole against the Cardinals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Third and goal to go, 4-yard line. Kendrick Bourne goes in motion. He's left. Two receivers are right. Jimmy out of the shotgun, looking left, will throw. Caught! Ross Dwelly! Touchdown! Go. Receivers are bunched right. Dwelly tight left. Garoppolo shotgun. Coleman leaks out right.
Dwelly.
Garoppolo throws wide open. Touchdown! San Francisco. Garoppolo in the gun. Juszczyk left. Coleman right. Gun run. No play action. Garoppolo throws. Caught by Kendrick Bourne. Touchdown! San Francisco. Garoppolo in the shotgun. Jeff Zero. Wilson Jr.'s in. He runs inside. He's got a 10-5 touchdown! San Francisco!
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I was a little worried about Ted Robinson running out of air there. You know how we get... Oh, it was Greg Papa. Wait, are you sure? What does Ted Robinson do?
He's not on the broadcast anymore.
Oh, whoopsie. Sorry, Greg. I was a little worried about the voice of the Niners running out of air there. That's totally my fault, of course. So the call there at the end reminded me of one of those soccer calls, football to the rest of the world, where they use every bit of lung capacity, every ounce of lung capacity to the... Anyway... I didn't get a deep breath there. This was quite an exciting game for the Niners and all of their voices on their radio network, both past and present. There were 5 lead changes in this game. The Niners were unable to run the ball, and yet you had Kyler Murray knifing through defenses and scoring every which way but loose. And so without San Francisco establishing the run, it had to become Jimmy Garoppolo stepping up and carrying and sparking the offense. And after the game against Seattle, there were questions. There have been questions about whether or not he could do that. He certainly did. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So, G, it's not that I don't like Jimmy G, but it feels so cliche now that I just can't be cliche. So, G had 424 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have a couple of picks, one of which was deflected. But do you know he's the first Niners quarterback since Steve Young to pass for that many yards and that many touchdowns in a single game? And only he and Joe Montana have ever done it before Jimmy Garoppolo. So it was quite a game and quite a day for the Niners quarterback as they were trying to get back on track after their stubbing of their toe against Seattle. You hear the name Ross Dwelly a lot these days with the Niners because George Kittle is in street clothes and was cheering from a luxury box on Sunday. And so Dwelly, who I think only had like 18 yards or something like that, but ended up with a pair of touchdowns. He wasn't targeted much, but 2 of his targets were in the end zone. Really, the go-ahead drive was so impressive. It was the 2-minute drill for the Niners. It was 65 yards, and it was capped by the only catch of the game for Jeff Wilson Jr. Turned out to be that touchdown. And so for the Niners trailing 16-0, putting themselves in a hole, kind of feeling that tension after just having lost to Seattle, this was a huge step forward for them. A character builder, but also a confidence builder.
You try not to freak out, you know, keep things in perspective. You know, our D got them off the field. You know, we ended up having some penalties that kept them on, some of those PI calls that they had. It was awesome on the first drive that they held them to a field goal. The offense couldn't get anything going. You know, we, you know, most of the first half until that touchdown.
I appreciate that Kyle Shanahan just admits you try not to freak out there on the sidelines. Of course, he's been in some situations, one in particular in which his team coughed up a big lead. I wonder what's worse, being the team in hot pursuit after you've put yourself in a hole, or having a huge lead and hearing the footsteps coming. I guess it depends on your experience and Kyle Shanahan's. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. After the game, Kyler Murray really frustrated with just the overall integration process in the NFL, as the Cardinals have now lost 4 games in a row, and it's just not something that he knows what to do about.
I've always won, so, and then being in situations like when you go up 16 or you're in position to win, and you should win, it's disappointing.
Penalties obviously don't help, and turnovers don't help, but effort's been there all season, and we've got to find a way when we get back from this bye to finish games.
Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray coming into the NFL together as a tandem, so to speak. This was the choice. Cardinals ownership, of course, the choice of Kingsbury as his quarterback. And there is a learning process for both of them. Although you look at what Kyler has done, I don't know that you can blame him so much. Really, it's a lot of them on the offensive side of the ball who are kind of trying to gel. Other than Larry Fitzgerald, who actually had a rare fumble in this game, it's a lot of young guys. Kenyon Drake getting far more carries and opportunity to impact the game than David Johnson. Such a weird progression of David Johnson's career through injuries, but also through irrelevance. And so for Kyler, you know, he continues to be a dual threat. He's speedy and he's elusive and he's a lot of fun to watch. But as Cliff Kingsbury points out, they need to learn together as a group how to play an entire 60 minutes. And that's not reinventing the wheel in sports. That's something that every team has to learn how to do. But certainly when you're changing a culture and establishing a new system and you've got new voices, it can take a lot of time. All right, you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS. And in light of the Bears' struggles, as well as the Rams this season. I mean, last week I was ready to put out an APB for the Rams' offense. But also in light of other teams that we've watched struggle this season, which team has been the biggest? It's a Sunday night. There's a lot of words in my brain. Which team has been the biggest disappointment of the season so far and why? So again, you can find us on Twitter, also on Facebook. It's great to talk to you. 855-212-4227 coming up. We're going to find out about this makeshift offensive line for the Rams and whether or not we will see Jared Goff throwing more than 20 passes at any game the rest of the season.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
From the 5, it's first and goal. With Malcolm Brown behind him, they give to Brown straight ahead. He charges in for 6. Touchdown, LA! 3:31 to go in regulation, and the Rams take it back to a 2-score lead.
I thought at the most timely spots, our guys rose up. You know, to be able to see Josh Reynolds make some timely catches, I thought the third down where he ended up having poor leverage on Fuller, broke that leverage. Jared delivers him a good ball. What a play by Jared Goff in the empty formation to recognize kind of a trap-type coverage where Fuller comes off on the outbreak from Josh, and he opens up the whole shot for Gerald. You know, I hate that the one big play to Josh came back, but really I love the way that our guys overcame it. to see Malcolm end up punching that one in was big, and then to be able to close out the game in a four-minute situation and be able to take a knee, that's always a good thing for us.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, we always have that in the NFL, hits, misses, and some big messes. The Rams are trying to make the most of what's been a bit of a messy first two-thirds of the season. Now it's 6-4 for head coach Sean McVay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome to the show Joe Curley, who covers the Rams for the Ventura County Star and the USA Today Network. Joe, when you look at the box score for this game, it jumps off the page at you that they really concentrated on running the ball, but to the detriment, I guess, of Jared Goff's stat line. He only attempts 18 passes. Is this the new Rams offense?
Well, it's funny. Coach McVay was asked that after the game, and he kind of gave an affirmative, but it was kind of a, I don't want to call it wishy-washy, but it was kind of, you know, infirm. It was just basically, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, I think basically without Brandon Cooks, without Robert Woods, with a tight end core that was all banged up, you know, all their tight ends were questionable going into the game, with a kind of a new-look offensive line, with a rookie at tackle, you know, they were running out of options, and I think they were kind of forced to, you know, use some of this Todd Gurley that they had been saving up, and it, you know, it paid off. You know, Todd Gurley showed us tonight that, you know, if he's asked to carry the load, he can still do it.
What do you expect with the offensive line moving forward? It's already been through so much transition this year.
Yeah, it's hard to really predict because, you know, we thought we had a handle on what their plan was in the off season, and, you know, they had a couple things not work out, and they had a couple injuries, and they reshuffled it once, and it didn't quite work out. You know, I thought they looked pretty good early in the Pittsburgh game, and then Brian Allen gets hurt, and they have to reshuffle again. And so, you know, I think, you know, they're kind of doing their best to make it work with baling wire and, you know, a little bit of chewing gum here. And, yeah, I tell you, yeah, duct tape. That would probably be better than some of the performances they've had. Duct tape, really strong. But, you know, I think, you know, the tackle that they did give a shot to today, Bobby Evans, had, you know, some really good reviews, played really well. They gave, you know, a lot of the players kind of gave him props after the game. So, you know, if he can kind of continue that upswing and give them maybe just a little bit of a platform offensively, you know, then maybe they may have enough to chase down Seattle. Still certainly a big ask, but, you know, for one more week at least, they're still in the running.
When you talk about this offense and the massive shift, you know, so much of it has been about the injuries and about the offensive line. How has the team itself, though, in the locker room handled what's been some frustration after a season last year in which they were known for the high-octane, high-powered passing attack?
You know, I think, you know, they're not what they've been. But I do think when you look at some of these performances, you know, defensively, they've picked up the slack. I mean, I think the last couple of weeks they've looked really strong, especially since they've added Jalen Ramsey. You know, I thought it was, you know, when they made the move for Ramsey and they basically moved beyond that secondary that was Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters and John Johnson. I mean, they had some huge, you know, they turned over that basically the entire secondary besides Derek Weddle. And, you know, Troy Hill, who steps into the starting lineup opposite an all-pro in Jalen Ramsey, you know, the day after they trade for Ramsey says, I know I'm going to have a target on my back. I know that opposing player, you know, opposing coaches are going to game plan against me and attack me, and I'm going to see a lot of action. And he's been ready for it. He went out there today. He had a pick. He had a sack. He, you know, really played well. So I think three or four PBU, you know, pass breakup. So, you know, I think they've adapted, you know, I think Rams fans probably aren't as entertained as they've been the last in the NFL in general. And, you know, football fans in general, not as entertained. Certainly tonight was not as entertaining a football game as that great Monday night game with the Chiefs last year. But, you know, I think they, you know, they're more balanced a team, and you know, they're adjusting, they're finding ways to win, and I think they're going to stick around in this race at least until December, and you know, adapt their way and you know, put themselves in a position to continue to win going into next year. So they're not the team they've been, but you know, they still have shown ways that they can win.
Do you think they've stayed optimistic and positive throughout these difficulties?
I mean, I think they've been professional, and I think that's part of it. You know, is showing up and you know, keeping you know, focused and listening and doing what the coaches tell you. We haven't really had, you know, even though there's been some kind of testy you know, press conferences, there we haven't really, you know, there hasn't really been huge blow-ups or, you know, anything. You know, they're still kind of together as a team, which is all you can ask when, you know, things aren't going maybe as well as you can expect.
Mm. Joe Curley from the Ventura County Star with us following Sunday Night Football between the Rams and the Bears. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I want to get your, I don't know if you were still in the press box at the time, but when the announcement was made that Mitch Trubisky was leaving the game with a hip injury, did you hear them say that it was because of injury, or were you as confused as the rest of us?
Yeah, I was going down at that point, you know, to prepare for the post game. But, you know, I know that's kind of been made a huge deal, but, you know, the game, I guess, is kind of out of reach at that point. What, it was the last series? And,
right.
You know, there was a 2-score game at that point. I mean, I know it's basically all that, you know, the Chicago side asked about after the game. So certainly it's a big story there. But, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, the game was over and, or certainly decided, and you know, if you're going to take the starting quarterback at that situation, you know, in that situation, I don't mind it. I you know, better than him get injured on that last series and you know, affect things going forward, right?
How did you see the Rams defense really bottle them up on the Bears side?
Yeah, I thought you know, there was some good pressure. You know, but you know, they had, let's see here, 3 sacks, 2 by Aaron Donald, 4 quarterback hits by Donald, another big night from him. I thought Samson Ebukam had a couple nice plays, a reserve off the bench. You know, Clay Matthews, after having a really good first half of the season, coming off certainly, you know, halted by that broken jaw, but, you know, his presence has been felt since he's been back. And again, like these kind of lesser guys in the secondary, Taylor Rapp and Troy Hill, you know, really kind of coming to the forefront with, you know, now that they've gone out and you know, Jalen Ramsey has the big moment where he picks up Allen Robinson and throws him down. So, you know, you really had, you know, some. I mean, I think the defense, they might be in a position where if they want to make this kind of mid-season switch to, you know, winning with defense and running the ball, I think it's there for them. You know, the schedule might make it tough. Certainly the toughest game left on the schedule is probably next week's game against the Ravens, which is going to be a big one. But, you know, I think it's there. They you know, they might be able to kind of switch the, you know, switch up a little bit and kind of change gears midstream and see if they can make the playoffs playing that sort of ball.
They wouldn't be the first team to do that this year. We've certainly seen a lot of shifts. Yeah, toward running the ball and ball control, and then, of course, trying to play some tough defense. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Rams, as you say, are now 6-4, and so have kind of put themselves in a bit of a pickle in the NFC West, and they've got 2 really good teams above them. But how much for the Rams have you seen the leadership, really? I mean, Jared Goff now, you can't consider him a young quarterback anymore, I don't think, and Peyton's got a couple years under his belt. You mentioned they stay professional, but, you know, who steps up to keep this team moving forward?
Well, I mean, tonight it was Gurley in this kind of patchwork offensive line. It was, you know, some of these role players defensively. You know, I think that, you know, we talk about how difficult it is. You know, there's really no room for error in the NFC because, you know, I think Rams fans have been watching the scoreboard, you know, the last 2 weeks, and they, you know, they get all excited because the, you know, the Broncos are up 20-0 against the Vikings, and what was it, the Niners were down 16-0 today,
right,
and
right.
Maybe they start thinking, hey, maybe we'll get a couple breaks and we'll get back in it, and both those things kind of fell through for them. So, you know, it kind of you know, it gives you a little example of just how thin, you know, their room for error is. You know, they're probably going to have to put together, you know, a winning streak to even give themselves a chance. But, you know, it's probably, you know, they're in a much better position, obviously, than the Bears, whose season's probably ended tonight. This was, you know, a lot of people saw this as kind of a playoff elimination game. Not really great to be playing those sort of games in the middle of November, but that's where this team is in. They are what they are at 6-4, and which is better than, I guess, some of, you know, what the Bears are right now, I guess.
I saw an interview, I guess it was the Sunday Night Football interview with Michelle Tafoya, and she talked to Jalen Ramsey and mentioned him going back and forth with Allen Robinson and whether or not he had a bunch to say. And Jalen said, well, he didn't really respond. I thought I had some good jokes, but he didn't really come back with much. How much fun has it been? I just said about 60 seconds, but how much fun has it been to cover Jalen?
Yeah, great. You know, this is, you know, certainly they've gone with a different sort of structure. You know, this is a team of stars, and, you know, those stars are the team's leaders. And you know, Ramsey has been, you know, kind of fit right in. And, you know, it's crazy to think that just a couple weeks ago, this was a team, you know, that kind of had the personality of Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, and
right.
Both those guys are gone. And you know, Ramsey has stepped right into that, you know, to that void. And then tonight, like I said, you know, Troy Hill, a player who went from a role player, special teams player, to making big plays on Sunday Night Football. So, you know, things are changing midstream with this team, but they're, you know, finding ways to win. And, you know, we're looking forward to learning more about Jalen as the season goes on. This was his debut. He's been a Ram for a month now, and this is the first time the people, you know, he's played in front of the people of Los Angeles in the Coliseum tonight. So that's, you know, that's what this team's been on the road, going to London and having a bye week. So, you know, it was a historic night tonight. First time Jalen Ramsey, who almost went to SC at the you know, at the end, got to, you know, there was a big talked about how he was, you know, thought he was going to be a Trojan and end up going to Florida State, and, you know, how different things might have been for USC if he'd have changed his mind. But anyway, that's the past, and the future is he's a Ram.
And certainly is worthy of that Hollywood stage. All right, you can find Joe on Twitter at VCS Joe Curley. Ventura County Star covers the Rams. We always appreciate having a couple of minutes with you, Joe. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Amy. Good night.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.